Welcome back to another episode of Dentistry's Growing with Grace podcast. Join Grace and her guest of the week as they discuss lessons learned in the industry and explore unique insights into ethical growth.
I'm excited to have the opportunity to share with you all some things that will help you come out of this situation in a stronger way. I'm most passionate about branding and marketing, and I hope you find this information very beneficial as you embark on reopening or planning for a reopen in the hopefully near future. So as we know, the situation that we're facing right now is not limited to us. It is a situation that, of course, as we know, started in China. And if you haven't seen this information, I'm happy to be sharing it with you. Stroman conducted a study in China in March and asked a bunch of questions to dental practice owners that had reopened. Most of the questions centered around what was most important to you in this reopening process. And interestingly enough, 72% of the people polled stated that early patient engagement was most important for a successful bounce back. Some of the quotes from that survey are the following: the outbreak has made us pay more attention to online interactions. So how are you staying in front of your patients? How are you communicating with them? 72% believe that this was the most important factor. That's a pretty big percentage. A lot of people reported that they didn't try online marketing before the crisis, but they realized during the crisis and coming out of the crisis, the power of online marketing and digital communication. So today I'm going to be breaking down for you just how to do that and some of the reasons behind why you want to be in front of your audience and why you'd like to be educating them primarily. My favorite kind of marketing is education. So other quotes, we're significantly increasing the frequency of our promotional activities. So more and more of these doctors realized that they needed to lean more heavily on marketing and embrace it in order to come out of this. I'm going to give you a few examples a little bit later on as to how marketing makes a big difference in how things are perceived. We, for a long time in the dental profession, we've been fighting this battle to get people to truly appreciate what we do and to truly understand what we do. After all, we're not just tooth fixers. We can do so much more, from life-changing cosmetic dentistry to our ability to diagnose illnesses and ailments that affect the entire body. And you know about this more than me. The general population just simply doesn't understand fully the capabilities of modern dentistry. So it's time for us, especially now coming out of this crisis, to truly embrace all that marketing can do for us. And when I say marketing, I know right away some of you are maybe not loving how that feels or how it sounds. In your mind, marketing is this pushy, aggressive thing where we discount all of our services and we discredit our profession. I just want you to know that is not what it is to me. And when I talk about marketing, if you'd like, you can replace it. It's synonymous in my mind with communication, visual and written communication. And again, the best form being education. So why does your brand matter? And does your brand identity matter? So simply put, your brand is your reputation. It's that gut feeling people get when they encounter your business. And it's very important to thoughtfully craft this message. How have you relied on your unique selling proposition and your brand and your core values to make decisions and communicate? I've seen a lot of instances where people have defined their brand, but then their marketing goes directly against their brand. So for instance, if your brand is this high-level cosmetic practice, and you're wanting to get patients that really appreciate the artistry of what you do, but they land on the on a website that's not modern and not aesthetically pleasing, you have a disconnect between how you'd like to be perceived and how you deserve to be perceived and how you're currently being perceived. So once you really commit to your brand, it's very important that everything that you do supports that reputation that you're looking to create. So your brand identity supports your reputation. So your if your brand is your reputation, your branding or your brand identity is all of the materials that support your reputation. So that could be as simple as looking at your fonts, your colors, your symbols, your ads, your social media content. I remember at one point in time, I was working with a practice owner who really wanted to establish this elite brand. He really wanted to be, you know, perceived as the best, this very high level service. And when I went to his Facebook page, there was a full costume, someone in a full tooth costume dancing around where people were pretending to floss this tooth. And it was directly competing with the message they had intended to put out. So it's again, it's very important that once you define your unique selling proposition or where you fit in the market, that you're very, very consistent with that, both in your branding. So again, the materials that support your brand, and the visual representation of your brand and with your messaging. So think for a second on some of the things that you wish people knew about oral health. I could tell you, I have two daughters. I have a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old. And through both pregnancies, I went to what felt like constant doctor appointments, just nonstop doctor appointments with my OB. And never at any point in time did that doctor asked me about my oral health or my last dental appointment. There was absolutely no conversation around that. And I know that doesn't come as a surprise to you, but it's an opportunity for you. When you sit here and you think, what do I wish everyone knew about their oral health care? This is going to help you create your content mix. Start to think about these things. So this question that you could ask is, how important is oral health care to an expectant mother, an expecting mother? And that in and of itself, answering that question for you and potentially going live with that video content on social media or on YouTube, wherever you'd like to put that information, it will help people. And when you commit to educating your community, you will over time become the authority on oral health care. And you will absolutely have more new patients coming in as well. I can see that there's some information about poor audio quality. If anyone else is experiencing this at this time, please send me a chat and comment because I'm more than happy to change my audio settings if necessary. We'll try that out. So again, what do you wish everyone knew about oral health? How many people know that, and if this applies to you, great. How many people know that you can provide them with a safe alternative to CPAP, or that you can provide a solution to combat sleep apnea? This is incredibly important for anyone providing this care, that you really embrace the ability to educate your population on this information. Right now, we're running some ads around this COVID situation, and there is little to no data around if a CPAP machine creates aerosols in the home, and if an oral appliance may actually be a safer option in the case that someone unknowingly contracted COVID, coronavirus, and now through their CPAP machine, they're unknowingly spreading that infection throughout their house. Now, there's no data to back that up. And with a lot of things right now, there's missing data. However, we can say that this is an alternative and we can educate them on the possibility of that situation. You just never know when you've got this little, cute little couple, maybe they're a little older and you just never know their situation. This is the kind of information that could potentially be life-saving for someone. So here's another thing. A lot of people don't feel comfortable right now marketing cosmetics or marketing elective things. We've seen a big shift to emergency care marketing. We've seen a big shift to more urgent and quote unquote necessary care. But I can tell you right now, when people are confined to their homes and their communities are shut down for an extended period of time, they have more time to think. And they have more time to think about the ideals of their life and how they wish that they looked and they felt. There are a lot of people right now creating their future workout plans and looking into what gym they're going to join after this situation, and looking into even what they'd like to change about their appearance. So don't just assume that no one in your community is going to be interested in elective care such as cosmetics. More now than ever, people are going to want what they want. So a few people might not be able to afford it right away, but I do think you're going to see more people than expected interested in these elective things. So think again about what you wish everyone knew about oral health care. We know that your oral health is connected to your overall health. We know the implications periodontal disease can have on your heart and can have to, you know, your risk of stroke and several other very severe conditions. But does your community know that information? So I want you to think about the information that you wish everyone fully understood, and make it your own goal to be the educator of your community on oral health care and its importance. This one thing, without spending a dime, just going live consistently and sharing information, will make such an impact on your community as well as your brand recognition. People will start to know who you are. There's been a lot of questions directed my way lately about corporate brands and personal brands. And when you're the owner of a business, your personal brand is pretty closely intertwined with your corporate brand. So make sure you're not getting political on your Facebook page. Make sure that you're not sharing opinions that could, in a second, cut your audience in half for potential patients or clients. And just know that your personal brand does impact your corporate brand, and it's important that you understand how yourself and your team members are representing your business online. Because if anyone has your business mentioned as their employer, they are in fact representing your business at all times. So very important. I often recommend having a guideline set up around social media policies so that employees are given some guidance on both your brand and what that should look like and your branding and what they can and can't say and do. If they want to have personal profiles, then they shouldn't be using those personal profiles that they're in total control of to be in front of any of your patients. So you just need these things outlined so that everyone can agree. And again, we know the results of lack of marketing by oral healthcare providers. We know how many people in our communities just truly don't understand the importance. And the consequences, unfortunately, are pretty serious health conditions. So let's embrace this. It's time to market in a less cookie cutter, a more personalized, and a more impactful way. So video social media content is everything right now. And so many people are late to the party when it comes to this. Set your goals before you start any marketing program. Set your goals. What exactly do you want this thing to accomplish? That's going to help anyone who's helping you or contributing to this to be on the same page. So let's say you'd like to achieve 50% brand recognition in your community by January, and you'd like to educate the community on the importance of oral and overall health, and you'd like to become known as the go-to dentist for cosmetic and sleep apnea. So right there, you have very clear, three clear goals of what you'd like to accomplish with this. When it comes to writing the content, gets a lot easier. So your next step here is to create your content mix. So this is just an example. 25% may be about your team and your office and your protocols. This is more important than ever right now, especially your safety protocols. You may find that you want 25% to be about your cosmetic solutions, where you reveal videos where people see their smile for the first time, or you show before and afters, or you just give information about a given procedure. You could have another 25% where you're answering frequently asked questions. These tend to be the easiest to record because you're almost on autopilot in answering patient questions. You're so used to getting those on a daily basis that those videos are pretty easy and they usually come out pretty naturally as well. So if you're getting stuck or hung up on any of this content mix stuff, go right to the FAQs and build your confidence there first. And then of course you can maybe allocate 25% to technology. Now this content mix is just an example for someone. You can create it however you'd like. You also need to set frequency. We help people with custom social media content, video prompts, and also professional video that can be leveraged on social media and other marketing platforms. And I've always found that when people read a script, that it comes out very awkward and that it's really not the best way to go about presenting your information. So again, go back to creating a goal and creating your content mix. And then from there, you're going to create your video prompts. You can, in 1 to 2 days of shooting, record 52 videos if you'd like and have them set for the entire year. One a week for the entire year. And if you just did this only, you did no other marketing, and you boosted a weekly video for $30 to $50 a week, I can promise you, you would generate a much stronger brand recognition. People would start to know who you are, and it will also, without a doubt, attract new patients. So make sure you're looking and planning, especially if you're like us. I'm in Illinois and we're in a situation where nothing's reopening at least until June. And so if you're in a situation where you've got a little extra time before you reopen, now's the time to look and plan and build some marketing. For a higher level brand, if that is more your style versus the do-it-yourself, you can have a professional videographer come in and get up to 6 months, maybe even more, worth of content that you can leverage on different platforms. So again, why should we market now during this COVID situation? A lot of people are not yet all the way back to work, or they're maybe not as busy, so they're not working as many hours as things ramp back up. But what we do know is that the amount of time spent on your device, on social media, and reading and consuming articles and things online, that time has skyrocketed for most people. So now's a great time to market. And I'll explain a little more on that. A lot of people pulled their ad spend and dialed back on the marketing just because they assumed, well, we're shut down, we can't spend money. What this did was it made your reach go a whole lot further, because whenever you have lower competition for certain search terms or for certain target markets, your money goes a lot further. So we have decreased competition, which means more exposure for the dollar, and we've got a more engaged audience. Now is a prime time to be marketing, but people are so uncomfortable with it because they think marketing is all about the immediate call to action. When in reality, the marketing you start now is really going to bring results to you in a few months, 3 to 6 months, depending on the method. So again, we've got a lot of people running emergency only campaigns until they know that they're going to be reopened. We helped a lot of our clients just switch over and run these emergency campaigns and get them up and running right away. A few things that we changed an updated Google My Business profiles, so your Google local listing, as you may know it, and we added a page of content. We've been adding multiple pages of content to so many different websites around what you can expect when you're back in our practice. A lot of people have changed their infection control protocols, and just outlining that what to expect process, I think it's important. Patients like to know what to expect. We don't like to be surprised. So communicate, 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 and then communicate again. If you just put it on your website, you might miss people who really just follow you on social media. So put that information out everywhere. And it's okay if you're changing it all the time. Your marketing company should support you in all of this. So marketing while you're closed or you have limited services, if this is your situation, focus on brand building, focus on brand recognition, focus on safety and infection control protocols. So whether you've purchased a unit that will help you provide cleaner air quality or something of that nature, you want to communicate those things. So this has been so interesting to me. In the last year, I've spent a lot of time studying corporate culture, and not just studying it, but also applying it in my own business. And I think it's one of the most interesting, challenging, and fun things to tackle is how do we create a work environment where people love it and they want to be here? After all, it is work. And I had this conversation recently with a friend. What comes first, your brand definition and the core of your brand or your culture? Which is leading which? And how do these things reflect each other? I highly recommend this book. It's called The Culture Code. And, you know, when thinking about your brand and thinking about your culture, they should echo each other. So your brand should echo your culture and they should be in total alignment. So if your culture is the core of your organization, the core emotion, the core values, it's the core, it's the personality of your business, your brand or your reputation to the outside world, to your community, to your patients, should echo who you truly are. And when you have a disconnect between who you truly are and who you're marketing, who you're being marketed as, you have a lot of vulnerability. That's when you get upset patients. That's when you get bad reviews. It's not because you are bad. It's because the patient came to expect something different than what they actually experienced in your practice. So, example, our culture is one that values open and clear communication. We're relationship focused. In turn, our brand or reputation in the community is that we're friendly, approachable, and kind. Our patients love us because we take our time with them. So again, if your marketing is representing you as relationship-based, but you spend 2 minutes with the patient, hi, how are you? Let me see your mouth. Okay, good, bye. Your patients aren't going to be happy with you. So make sure your marketing truly reflects who you are. That's even more important in my mind than the actual components of the patient experience. Again, some people will want a super quick appointment and some people want more individualized attention. But if you're marketing yourself in a way that's honest to who you truly are, you're going to bring the patients into the practice that value you. If you are interested in learning more about branding and brands, this book by Donald Miller was fantastic. If you don't feel like reading it, I'm going to give you the takeaways. If your message isn't clear, no one will listen. The next thing I took away from this is story makes music out of noise. So when you can tell a story, you're going to capture people's attention and they're going to enjoy that experience of reading that story. The most important takeaway is your customer is the hero and you are the guide. What does this mean? So in so many marketing initiatives, I see people that are saying, I, me, my, we. They're saying, my team can do this for you. I can do that for you. And they're starting everything with a very self-driven message. When you flip that and you start with you and you put the patient in the position to be the focal point of your content and your copy, you're going to grab people's attention and it's going to be a lot more effective. So instead of I, me, my, we do this, we do that, you want to say you will experience blah, 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 X, Y, Z. You will notice that we take our time in our appointments. You will notice that we take the time to make sure we answer any questions you may have. It makes people feel comfortable. A lot of times when I'm talking about branding, I get the immediate reservation. People are like, well, I could never update my brand. I've had it for so long. Everyone knows me by it. If Uber and Subway can do an update, you can do an update. Your patients will adjust. It's important that you're considering brand updates. I see so many logos that are like old school scripts and things that just look really out of date. And it's not working in your benefit because people are instantly judging you based on your logo, based on your branding. And so if your mission or your focus has shifted, or if your branding has just gone out of style, you should really be looking at a tweak or an update. So, and that stands for any kind of business, any brand. So there is psychology behind branding. It's more about how you want people to perceive you, and it needs to be less about what you like personally. So, I mean, a red tooth, for example, is probably the furthest thing from an effective brand that a dentist could get. The color red is a color of caution and fear, and it's also the color of blood. And an extracted tooth doesn't necessarily represent us in the dental profession the way that we want to be represented. Again, we don't want to be tooth fixers. We want to market modern dentistry. So you're going to want to go in a different direction if that is your current brand. So now's a great time to reconsider your branding and ensure that it's truly you and connects with your audience. And again, now we've got some work to do to remind people how essential we are. Ways to poison your brand. Don't position yourself in a way that isn't true to you. If your business name is Always There Dental Care, but you close at 2 p.m. every day, you're going to have a really hard time keeping patients happy. Do-it-yourself branding often lacks professionalism, and it lacks the psychology behind the brand. So if you are going to do it yourself, run it by a professional. Just get like that extra stamp of approval, because there might be something that their trained eye could recognize that maybe you wouldn't have noticed. So that's kind of my disclaimer there. Basic, unoriginal, or boring branding is not going to help you be memorable. But we don't want over complex branding either. Sometimes the simpler the symbol that you have and the branding that you have, the more memorable it is. So keep that in mind. Why does your online presence matter? Okay, so once you've determined this is the core of who we are, this is my unique selling proposition, and that's that one main differentiator that's going to be echoed in all of your marketing. Once you have that defined and you've got your updated logo and you've got, you know, some idea of where you're going and what kind of patients you want to attract, next you need to think about your online presence. The truth is, digital marketing right now is the most cost-effective and just effective way to attract new patients. So if you haven't fully embraced that yet, now's a really good time. It's the facilitator of word-of-mouth marketing. So if you're used to growing by word-of-mouth, just know that your digital presence, your online presence, is building that word-of-mouth marketing. So for instance, someone might be referred by a friend or family member, but they're not necessarily just referred that way anymore. They're referred because they posted in their mom's group, who do you recommend for a dentist in our town? And 10 people recommended you. So very important. It's often the first impression for a new patient. So no matter how they found out about you, a lot of times they're going to look you up online. They're going to see what comes up on page one. They're going to look at your website and they're just judging you. They're trying to get a feel for who you are and what you stand for. And it's often the last stop before calling you. So even if they heard about you or they drive past your office all the time, they are going to check you out online before they finally stop in. So it's important. It's just as important as having office space, quite frankly. If they can't find you online, in a lot of situations, you pretty much don't exist. People still go to Google and they look for a dentist, and they look at websites, and they judge you based on that. So right now you can get some really great like special pricing, and you can also get more exposure for the dollar, as I talked about before. And again, here's that picture of that dancing tooth that doesn't quite represent that high-level brand. So just because one marketing thing works for one practice doesn't necessarily mean that it's appropriate for you. So keep that in mind. Marketing technology. I think this is one of my biggest pain points. I was visiting my dentist, who's amazing, by the way, and I do marketing for him. And I didn't even know that he had a scanner. I was expecting like goopy impressions. And I was like, we really need to market this more. So if you've got technology that you're using in your practice, even if it's something that's been so basic to you for so long, and you're kind of assuming that everybody else already has it and they're doing things this way, do we really need to market it? Yes, you do. You spent money on that scanner. You've invested in that cone beam. You're investing in these things, but you're not educating your patients on the benefits. So we've got to break this down again, having a you focus and making the patient the hero and you the guide. And if you do read that book by Donald Miller, that'll make a whole lot more sense to you. So example of technology-based marketing for same-day dentistry. So let's say you purchased a milling unit. You can create a press release. You can add website information. You can have Facebook ads illustrating the benefits to the patient experience. So what do patients experience? How is their experience more enjoyable because of this convenience? And you always want to, you know, put things in that kind of context. You can send an e-blast to patients. You can record a video testimonial about the technology and share that information there. And you can leverage landing pages for leads for people that are interested in this particular technology. I have a question here. Is it important to brand all your products like retainers, whitening kits for practice to have successful brand recognition? Lydia, that's a great question. I don't think that it is. I've seen a lot of people not brand their own unique products and services within their umbrella brand. I think there's a lot of benefit to having your own brands built. So, and that is something that we can help you with. What I don't like to see is when I walk into a practice and I see their pamphlets and things, and there's no custom branding. There's no communication around your particular process or what makes your process unique. And what happens when patients receive or pick up, say, an Invisalign brochure or anything, you name it, let's say Lumineers or Invisalign or something of that nature, they're not crediting you for that. They are thinking now that you're the same and your process is the same as every other dentist that provides that branded service. And so what you want to do is have your own marketing materials around your expertise, your processes, and what makes you unique. Because the patients, once they see that, they just get on the phone and they start calling around saying, well, what do you charge for? What do you charge for Lumineers or Invisalign or whatever it is? And now we're in this shopping situation where people are shopping. So it does increase acceptance when you do have some branding around your own processes and services. Excellent question. Thank you. I hope I answered that. Strong copywriting is crucial. I always recommend the four C's of communication: clear, concise, complete, and correct. So if your copy doesn't accomplish those things, it's gotta go. So here's an example. Instead of saying high-tech dentistry, because that doesn't communicate benefit to the patient, say, experience the added comfort and convenience of same-day restorations. Now I'm communicating value. So always put yourself in the patient's shoes when you consider what this should look like. So I'm going to leave this slide here for a minute. For anyone who can take a screenshot, feel free to do so. This is just a sample marketing plan outlining what can be implemented and some things that can be very effective right now for a comprehensive marketing program for a dental practice. So clear, unique selling proposition and brand. We've talked a lot about that. Define your goals and your budget. I don't have another presentation set up on this one for you guys, but I do have another presentation about this if you're interested. Budget is important. I think a lot of people overspend on marketing and they just aren't really sure how to evaluate that, but that can be a whole presentation in and of itself. Tracking and reporting methods. So making sure that you're tracking internally as well as looking at things like Google Analytics reports for traffic and trends. But you should also be tracking how have your patients heard of you and how does every new patient hear about you. That's going to help you really evaluate what's working the best. Strategies, of course, have a strong website built for SEO. You want to be in the top three on Google. It's still the best return on investment when you get there. Usually takes about 6 months to get there. Google Ads, also known as pay-per-click marketing. Google Ads have gotten so sophisticated with retargeting, with excluding certain keywords, like you can exclude free, cheap, or Medicaid keywords from a campaign and it'll instantaneously, you know, eliminate a segment of the population. So it's important that you have these things set up all the way. I see a lot of people dabble in Google Ads and they're not fully trained in it and accidentally lose money on marketing being spent in Uganda or there's so many detailed steps to setting up a campaign properly that you should absolutely work with an expert. And then paid social media is extremely beneficial. My problem with this right now, I'm seeing a lot of people putting out just really basic ads, not taking the time to invest in video content, really well thought out video content, which produces a far better return on investment than just static images. So make sure when you are ready to go into paid social media that you do it well and you do it right, because otherwise you may dabble and invest a couple hundred dollars, not see a return and get turned off to it forever. I don't want to see that happen to you. Retargeting is everything right now. So the ability to show people your message, display ads and videos after they've already expressed some interest by visiting your website or clicking through to a landing page. This specific method, retargeting, allows us to re-show them your ad for far less money. So whereas a traditional like Google search to a paid click could be $8, this then shows them repeat exposure with a visual ad for far less, a lot of times under a dollar. So the exposure is so much more affordable and you get the opportunity to explain a benefit more than just words on a traditional pay-per-click campaign. So retargeting, you know, really well-defined brands that are consistent and you want to leverage what's called display ads on Google. They're very powerful. So your signage, your internal branded materials, what I was talking about to Lydia's question, and then team delegation of marketing responsibilities, also very important. And we have some tools in the works for that as well. So, you know, again, you could take a screenshot of this and lean on it later. Listen, people are going to judge you and they're going to put you in one of two categories. They're either going to say and assume that you're an old school dentist, or they're going to assume that you're a modern dentist. And there's really not a lot of overlap. It's very important that if you are wanting to be perceived as modern, which trust me, you do want to be perceived as modern, that you update your logo, you update your website, and you have a modern digital presence. If they think you're old school, they're going to assume that it's painful. They're going to assume that you don't have technology. And they make all of these assumptions just through glancing at your website. they're also going to judge you again once they step foot in your practice. So a lot goes into building this brand. I had someone come up to me at an event and say, you know, my website's just okay, but I think that's just fine. It's not a big deal. And I said, you know, that's fine. Mediocre websites are for mediocre doctors. And I was so immediately regretful of how I put that, because it was offensive and it was rude and it wasn't my intention, but it was also my truth. I just see some of the best clinicians in the world with some of the worst marketing, and it like breaks my heart. Like, I want to just give it to them for free, because the world can't even appreciate your greatness until you communicate it on the level that it needs to be communicated. So just know, if you need some support in building this brand and getting the recognition that you so deserve, now's a great time for this. So potential patients are going to judge you instantly. And I'm just going to keep saying that. So here are some components of an effective website, custom designed and brand enhancing. So for instance, let's say that you're in a beach town and everybody is, you know, loves boating in your area. And sometimes you go out on your boat. It's what you love. And you've built a brand around an anchor. And that anchor is to represent like your home base. It's to represent your team being there for people. And you've built this brand around this visual representation of this anchor. But when you go to the website, there's just your little anchor logo, and it's not anywhere else on any page or really integrated into the overall design of the site. It's not going to have as much of a memorable impact. Now, let's say you have a custom design, and when you hover on things, a little anchor tilts. I mean, little psychological triggers like that reinforce a brand and keep you more memorable to your patients. So custom design, brand enhancing, you want it fully responsible so that it looks beautiful on every size device. You want to make sure it's coded for WordPress or an open source platform. When you get a website and it's built on a proprietary platform, it can be very difficult to move it, to manage it on your own, and you're kind of like stuck with that company. So I recommend having a site that you fully own, that's built in a way where other people could come in and manage it if you need them to, if you so choose, and it needs to be made for rankings on Google or for SEO. Such a high percentage of SEO is determined based on how the website is built. Is it quick loading? Is it, does it have enough words? Does it have keywords integrated in the right places? And there's so much more that goes into that. You also want to integrate with social media. So you want to be able to send them to your social media pages from your site, and you want to be able to send them to your website from your social media pages. You also want to mention of reviews and reputation on there. People are always looking right now for who's like the best, who's the most highly rated. Those are the kind of things you want to come up for best. So information prioritized and easy to find. You want to make sure it's not about saying everything on the homepage. We want clean, organized, prioritized information. And if there's one word that I want you to keep in your mind when you evaluate your website, is this information prioritized? The most valuable space on the page is the upper right-hand corner, which is where you should have your phone number, contact information, or a prompt, a contact us prompt in the upper right is a great place. Real photography and videography is crucial. I know as soon as you get that team photo taken that someone will get pregnant and go on leave, or someone will quit or be let go. And you'll be starting over sometimes on this, but just plan regular photo shoots for your team. It helps people stay connected to you and they feel like they know you a little bit. So don't put the dread of change ahead of how important real photos and videos can be. And make sure you have before and after photos as well. So we're going to want to get testimonials all the time. It's very important. Videos on landing pages increase conversions by 86%. So that's a pretty big number. You always want to provide exceptional service. Of course, you want to give people a reason to rave about you. But after that, how are you communicating that? So a lot of times I'll recommend that people build this into their process. So every time you do a cosmetic case, you want to sit down with that patient when you're bringing them back in to just check everything out and do a recap before you bring them in for that appointment. Let them know that you are going to be asking them a few questions on video if they're comfortable with that. And if just to give them a heads up in case they wanted to prepare at all, but just letting them know you're going to be asking them about their experience with you in the attempt to help more people in the community. And trust me, women, we love having a little bit of notice so we can do our makeup and our hair, or maybe just one or the other like me. But people like notice. They like to know what to expect at their next appointment. So if you just build this in and you start planting the seeds along the treatment process. So maybe even on that first appointment, oh my gosh, you know, Susie, you're going to look so beautiful. We cannot wait to see the results of your new smile. You seem like a really outgoing person. Would you be comfortable documenting this process or just kind of giving us some feedback on camera once this is all done, if you're really happy with how it all went? And I'm sure more often than you would expect, people would be more than happy to do that for you. But what happens a lot of times is we have the intention and then we don't ask. And we miss opportunity there. All right. So I just want to show you this. This little video that you've probably seen before, this is terrifying. Okay. I know to dentists, this is patient education. To patients, this is a reason to spend their money on a new iPhone, not on an implant. So just know that there's a fine line between appropriate education and scaring people. So keep that in mind. You don't want to over-educate. A lot of people can already imagine kind of the general idea of a dental implant. I don't think they need to see this actually being, you know, in this illustration. I think it's scary and it scares people off. So when you're thinking about your marketing, don't show too much. This is TMI. When's the most opportune time for doctors to show these kind of details? After the deposit's been received, after the patient said yes, you know, I'm joking kind of, but you've got to really feel out these conversations and they should be face to face, because if a patient asks how it's done, you want the opportunity to talk about how you're going to make sure that they're comfortable, how you're going to make sure that they're not experiencing pain. And that is a two-way conversation, not a one-way conversation, not a conversation appropriate to be shared in this fashion. So just be very critical about how you make people feel. How you make people feel is a big, big part of your brand. So here's another example of the components of an effective digital identity: consistent brand identity, patient communication, so making sure that you're, you know, sending texts and you're doing e-blasts, effective and impressive modern website. Again, make sure it's built for SEO. Coming up on Google not only helps you attract new patients looking for you, but it also makes people assume that you're the best. Blogging and content marketing is all a part of search engine optimization. Paid ads, such as Google advertisements, which are really best, are so powerful, especially when you leverage retargeting. So just a recap, if you're looking, you know, where this feels overwhelming, we set up very comprehensive, unique, custom branded campaigns in 2 weeks. So it doesn't have to be this huge, you know, overwhelming process. Just like your treatment plan for a patient may seem overwhelming, and then when you break it down, it's pretty turnkey. So other effective strategies: public relations, event marketing, giveaways and contests. We see a lot of this on social media now, and live education. So all of these things, the funny thing is, no matter what you do now, it's all fueled by digital marketing campaigns. So even if you're doing this giveaway in office, you still want people to know about it. And the easiest way to share that information is to go on social media. So, you know, something you can do today to look at your online presence is Google your name, Google your business name. Look at what comes up on the first page of Google. If it's positive, if it's good information, if it's fair, great. If it's sending people to the wrong address, or there's a really prominent bad review, you may have some SEO work. Let's say your website doesn't come up at all, even for your own business name, you're in trouble. So the goal of SEO is to get you ranked for search terms. Your name and business name are kind of like freebie giveaways in SEO. So start there. It'll give you an idea of what your most pressing concerns are. The three pillars of SEO success: the site code and structure, how it's built, like the mechanics of the website. Number two is the content on the website. How many words, which keywords, and how are they implemented? And then number three is offsite factors. So this is when we're building backlinks and showing Google, hey, Google, this website's super important. Look at how many other websites link back to it for information related to dentistry. That's what moves you up in the rankings. It's a lot simpler than what a lot of marketing executives make it out to be. There's been a lot of talk between what's better, Google ads or Facebook ads. And in reality, SEO, so the organic SEO, gets you the best ROI. And then ideally, you've got SEO, Google ads, and Facebook ads working together. Because remember, with retargeting, we can bring our cost per impression under a dollar, and we can create brand recognition. So if someone clicks through on your Google ad to a landing page, now the next time they're on Facebook, they're going to see your ad on Facebook as well, because we've got retargeting working on both platforms. Very powerful stuff. If I can kind of give you an example for this, it's when you're shopping for something online, you're looking up a pair of shoes or something, maybe you didn't buy those shoes, but the next time you log into Facebook, you see an ad for those exact shoes. I spend a lot of money because of retargeting. That's how I know it's super effective, but the data is there as well to show us when you've got a warmer impression, someone who showed interest, clicked through on something, we want them to see your future ads. So very important. What's appropriate right now? Brand enhancing, evaluating how people perceive you. Be modern. Education. Again, go back to thinking about what do people need to know about dentistry? What do I wish they knew about dentistry? Next, service-based information. What can you do for your patients? You don't want to be that doctor who sees Sally's come in, she's been a patient for 10 years, and she has a new smile because she didn't think you were the cosmetic dentist. So make sure you're communicating your services and your options. Retargeting, lead captures, very appropriate. Building up that list, very, very, very important right now. And then teledentistry consults. So even if you're not open, like if you're in Illinois or a state that just doesn't really have a set open date, you can start by having conversations with people and talking about their smile goals and things like that. Even for cosmetic evaluations, you can get people booking. And I just want to kind of extend this to anyone in the AACD. If you want to schedule with me, or I've got an associate on my team that helps with this as well, we'd be more than happy to help you create a plan for coming back post-COVID, looking at your online presence, giving you some pointers. It's not a high-pressure sales type situation. We just look at what you have and give you advice based on our professional opinion. So that's the link to get into my schedule. Just a reminder, if we want people to embrace dentistry, we truly need to embrace marketing. If marketing has had the ability to take a lobster from being the cockroach of the sea to being a delicacy, we can leverage marketing to get people to truly understand and appreciate just how essential dentistry truly is and you are to your community. Also, I invite you to join my Facebook group. It's totally free. We share a bunch of information, different marketing strategies and things as they come up. So it's called Dental Marketing with Grace, the Facebook group. I hope to see you there.